Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 61.
This week on the podcast, approval ratings finally illustrate how little people care about Benghazi and the other fake White House scandals.
Harry Reid is still not done making empty threats about filibuster reform.
And after realizing what the GOP actually stands for, a Florida Latino outreach director becomes a Democrat.
Anthony Weiner basically announces his mayoral candidacy by sitting in his favorite announcement spot and trying to look wholesome.
And Ann Coulter is furious that Star Trek doesn't offer an accurate view of her present-day America. In related news, Lila still does not know the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars.
And in further related news, I don't care to.
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live. Well, we're back from vacation.
We took a four-hour vacation today.
We did the thing that, after having lived a decade in Los Angeles, at least in my case.
Right, I just passed my six-year mark.
Yeah. My tenure is like, because I moved out here after college in May.
It's awful.
Of 2003.
That's Isn't that terrible. Wild?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Finally, I have a friend that has a pool.
For the first time ever.
So, for the first time in a decade living in sunny Los Angeles.
We sat by a pool.
Might have a tan.
Yeah, I have a slight burn. I'm red, yeah. Which
but
is the equivalent
but
of a
we
tan.
Had to drive to Marina Del Rey, which is like a, 40-minute
drive. End of the
so
earth.
It's sort of like, it felt like we were literally just going on vacation. We'd packed up our bags. And
yeah, we packed up the car, and then took like a full, Brent
I had made
sangria.
Brian Boitano sangria.
Figure skating sangria.
Used his base recipe.
Right.
Had nothing to put it in, so I took it in my salad spinner.
It was a very classy operation.
Big time. There was a lot of saran wrap and tin foil. And
I could only find one Tupperware container in my entire house, and it didn't have a top.
Yeah.
So I had to, tin foil wrapped it within an inch of its life. Kind of. We made it.
We made it.
Nothing spilled.
Nope.
And
everything was perfect.
Everything was perfect. We had delicious burgers by the fancy pool that we were at.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's our new plan.
We had a better week than a lot of people in Washington did this week because the shitstorm continued.
No one who wasn't touched by a scandal this week.
No.
Including agencies that are rarely in the spotlight by anyone except people that hate them.
Yeah.
I mean,
the one thing that you can say about the IRS, which is what we're going to talk about first, is that, you know, everybody already hates them.
That's true.
So it's sort of like, well, everybody's carrying on hating the IRS. I mean,
And this scandal really hasn't had the kind of impact that I think Republicans thought it would, in part because, like, where was there to go with this? Like, the IRS is already hated by everyone.
Yeah.
Either we'll keep hating them or we'll like them a little more.
Yeah, I know.
Depending on who we are.
Yeah. Well, they personally are the most enraged by this scandal.
Yeah.
And I said a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week on the podcast, that it'll be interesting to see which one of these that they focus on, because they'll probably pick the wrong one. And I will, when we get to it, go off on the AP scandal, because I'm still hopping mad about it.
Right.
But that's the right one, and I'll tell you why I think that's the right one. But they're
going to stick with this one.
That's the lowest of the three scandals that are going, which is the IRS and the Benghazi and that AP
scandal.
They're focusing on the two that are sort of not real and stupid. And leaving the third one that is real to just sort of die.
Which Republicans were not already furious at the IRS? Like, I want to name someone who they're planning to reach out to with the scandal. I want them to name a person who wasn't already furious with the IRS, who didn't already think that it was a hypocritical, terrible organization or, government agency. Like, there's not a single person who's paying attention to this scandal who's being, like, swayed in a new direction by it.
No.
It's just, like, same old, same old.
Nope.
It's like hating cancer. Like,
I know.
It's like waging a war on cancer.
It is.
We already hate it. And those of us that don't hate it aren't going to start hating it because it got more hateful.
No.
Like, I mean, I sort of like the IRS more than I used to.
I know.
I mean,
IRS is really winning you over these days.
As much as I believe that it's my civic duty to pay taxes and that we should all pay our fair share, I don't like paying taxes. No one likes paying taxes. So I've never been, like, in love with the IRS.
Right.
But I'm currently feeling better about them than I have in years.
Well, and it's just sort of like you said, and there was even an article in HuffPo this week that I think that we posted because you said this last week, which I was obviously a good point, was that, you know, they're going after groups that don't like paying taxes.
Right. That have sort of like stated as their mission an anti-tax mission.
If you're Homeland Security, then you're going to be sort of, you know, looking in on the people who might want to blow everything up. I mean, to a certain degree.
Who might hate America.
Who might hate America. That's
the IRS.
That's what the IRS is
doing. Charged with collecting taxes. They were targeting groups that hate paying taxes. It's totally fair.
There you go. There it is. But everybody, of course, has to, like, fake be mad about this.
Yes, everyone's very fake mad about it. My mom,
Obama is just pretending to be so just furious about
it. Oh, yeah, I know.
He couldn't be more mad.
I know, which is crazy. I mean, they made the acting head of the IRS resign this week.
Yep.
And he got, like, real nasty questioning at the hearings for
hearing
this.
Was just
it was
terrible.
Wild. Yeah. Yeah. So Stephen Miller is gone.
Yeah.
We have a new head of the IRS. His name is Daniel Werfel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he worked under the Bush administration, which
is
highly suspect.
I think that they probably felt like they had to
do management
like
and
that.
Budget. Yeah, they had to pick somebody neutral slash a Republican. They're
right.
The only neutral people out there these days, I guess. Yeah. But this is sort of like, my mom is furious because she thinks that the IRS is probably targeting liberal groups and that no one's talking about it. And I was trying to explain
and
to her.
Found some proof of this.
She's, I mean, it's true.
It's not
I was
point.
Trying to explain to her that I didn't even care.
Right.
Like, that they probably are targeting liberal groups, but that the answer is not to be angry that they're also targeting liberals. The answer is to be like, well, obviously, you should target Tea Party groups as the IRS. They don't want to pay their taxes.
Right.
Like, we should act maybe in another time like it's unfair of them to unfairly target, you know, liberal groups or whatever. But in this moment, I feel like we don't equate the two. You don't say that it's just as unfair for them to target liberal groups and Tea Party groups. It's totally fair for them to target Tea Party groups.
Yeah.
Fairness abounds. It's like fair city over there.
Yep.
But so, in any case, and plus, I mean, the other thing...
They're getting it all wrong anyway.
They're getting it all wrong anyway. The other thing that was sort of frustrating about this scandal is that they had set up a system where they had, like, sort of a warning, you know, where they were doing searches for keywords, and one of those was Tea Party, and that's how this whole thing started. But they weren't looking into any of the, like, major tax-exempt organizations that are, like, funding our election cycle, that don't have to, you know, say who their donors are, that don't have to release any information, like groups like Crossroads and Americans for Prosperity, and all of those groups that basically have bought the election system. And even on the liberal side, I mean, you know, any of the sort of super PAC-y type groups that have been paying for the entire electoral system were not targeted under this. It was all small groups.
Yeah.
So they might not be paying their taxes, and we just wouldn't know. And no one's audited them, so no one knows who their donors are, and no one knows
also,
any of their financial information, and they're not required by law to disclose it.
And we know a lot of people who aren't paying taxes, or corporations who aren't paying taxes. We know. I mean,
most
I just
of them.
Sort of like...
There's lists all over the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I can find a list without...
Yeah, we can tell you next
without
week
breaking
who's not paying
a sweat.
Taxes.
Yeah. It's most corporations is what it is.
Yeah.
And most major corporations aren't paying their fair share in taxes. So that's... We don't even need the IRS to do that kind of work for us.
No.
And ultimately, I mean, part of what's frustrating about them not targeting these big groups is that's where the big money is missing.
I know.
We're covering their portion of taxes, us little guys.
I know. We could close up some debt issues.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Brent is having, well, are you sun sneezing? Like, what?
I don't, maybe. I have no idea.
I feel like some people start sneezing when they
maybe
get
maybe I'm having some
sun.
Seasonal allergies.
Maybe you're allergic to the sun.
Oh, God. That would be terrible.
Maybe working too much has made you allergic to the sun.
That could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Blame work always.
Yeah.
But in any case, there is a group of people in the Senate who's sort of like, who are a little annoyed about the disparity, you know, the fact that this scandal has gotten so big and that they weren't even targeting the right groups.
Right.
But no, it's not really going anywhere. It's just giving them an opportunity to ask what I think is a more relevant question than asking whether or not they were targeting progressive groups. Because, like,
right.
Can't we just assume as progressives that they're always targeting us? They are. All the major scandals have been targeting progressives in like the history of America. Like, McCarthyism was targeting progressives.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every sort of like red scary type kind of witch hunt in American history has been targeting progressives. No one's ever targeting the far right.
Yeah.
They should be, because the far right is dangerous.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as at least as dangerous as the far left. I mean, I know we have some, there are some violent groups on the far left,
sure.
But they're not any more or less dangerous than the freaking NRA.
No.
So, but I mean, can't we just always assume that the left is a target and not worry about it? I'm thrilled that the right is feeling some of the heat.
I was going to say, I think we can just, we can assume that the fringes are targets.
Yeah, fringes are, I mean, that's, you know, that's how it works, friends. It's maybe sucky if you're on the fringes. Like, we're on the fringes. We know we're being targeted. It's annoying, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
In any case, from the hearings that resulted from this scandal, it became clear that no one really knows how it started. Yeah. No one really knows what it means. Democrats aren't as mad about it as everyone thought they would get. No one's really angry at Obama, even though Obama is angry in general.
Right.
No one's, like, blaming Obama. It's not like Democrats are abandoning Obama because of this stupid scandal. Right. And mostly...
And there really isn't any... I don't think, even if people are mad about this situation, it is...
There's no correlation.
It is a leap to think that he would have...
Been involved
in any way. To tell the IRS to do... It's just... Like, to tell, like, some lower rung people who were just, like, acting a fool at the IRS.
Yeah, like, some, like, cogs just, in the machine at the IRS.
It doesn't make... And I know that it's his administration, so, like, to a certain degree, like, the buck stops with him. Like, to think that he had any sort of, like, oh, well, we have to, like, really get on his case because he shouldn't... Like, no.
No.
I mean, that's crazy. That's a crazy notion.
That's crazy, yeah. But also, the sort of, like, Miller's gotten a lot of flack, or got a lot of flack during the hearings, in part just because, like, they found out this was going on at the IRS and no one told Congress about it. So Congress was just being pissy because they didn't know about it first.
Right.
Which was, like...
Well, that was like,
the hearings
thing, like,
were sort of, like, circular reasoning
there
up a
like,
storm.
There had been, like, reports all week coming out of, like, you know, Daryl Issa, who's pretending to be mad about it, like, he knew in March, and somebody else knew, like such
what,
and such.
The date everyone
and, like,
knew.
This, like, and that's just sort of, like, I mean, personally, I just don't really care
don't
what everybody
care.
Knew. But it's also sort of, like, people have known and sort of just kind of not really cared. And
until there was
I mean,
a scandal in the offing, there wasn't much to care about.
Until they needed the third scandal.
Right. The trifecta
was
complete.
Then it was a huge deal.
Exactly.
Like,
well, and also, another thing that people are sort of speculating about is that the Republicans, in their effort to hate the IRS, since everyone already hates the IRS, maybe will go overboard and alienate more people than they affect with this scandal. Because they have had some crazy things to say about the IRS, about sort of like just the way that the IRS is run in general and the mission of the IRS. It's like as soon as they opened the door to people criticizing the IRS, they couldn't control the party anymore.
Right.
Like people went nuts.
Yeah.
And people, including Michelle Bachmann, who's leading the charge.
She's back in it.
She was back. They repealed Obamacare again.
She has a platform again.
She has a platform again.
Oh, yeah. That's the newest thing with the far right is that they're trying to, like, tie this IRS scandal to, like, Obamacare somehow or another, which is another leap.
<It's>
a lot of leaps
bonkers.
Going on.
But the only real connection is that Michelle Bachmann is involved in both.
exactly.
And she's, like, having rallies and things. And she's, like, all up in this IRS.
Well, she's been out of the news for a while.
Yeah, well, then this is, like, the perfect moment for her because this is a fake scandal that has no real facts associated with it. No one knows what happened. No one really understands what the full extent of the scandal was. No one knows if it's a scandal or not. So there's room for her to just leap in and say things.
Right.
They don't have to be correct things. But
no,
just,
well, and that's what...
They rarely
that's
are.
Where she shines.
Yes.
Excuse me, I could not spit that out. But, I mean... You know, when there's a scandal with no facts that can just have anything, a made-up speech that she can give to angry people who are dumb. I mean, that's where...
There's a gossip vacuum. I've said this many times, but I'm going to say it again because that's what I do. If you, in politics, if you create an information vacuum, someone always fills it.
She's a good vacuum filler.
And it's a powerful tool. I mean, it's something that people can harness for themselves because as soon as you sort of, like, have a frustrating situation where, like, some... government, you know, authority is not giving you
information.
You can create the information and it forces them to tell you. Because if you create something crazy that makes them look bad, you know, then...
And that's what she's good at.
And that's...
She's creating
crazy
things that she's making up.
She's the sort of ultimate vacuum filler. Like, there's just a thing that went on that no one really understands at the IRS and she jumped in there.
She's got the facts. She's got her own set of facts.
Yeah. That she's got some people who are willing to believe those facts.
Crazy mouth breathers who will follow her to the ends of the earth.
She's sort of funny. She's playing it very coy about it. People keep asking her if when they're going to impeach Obama for all of these terrible things.
She won't say that he should be impeached, but she's like, well, every weekend when I go home, everybody...
all the time.
That's what everybody says that we should be doing.
In her district, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean...
the people who are coming out to see Michelle Bachmann probably are asking her about this.
8 years ago, people in my district were asking when we were going to impeach Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is what happens.
That was the thing that I was asking.
I was asking.
So I'm not surprised that people are asking Michelle Bachmann that. No. I still would like to send George Bush to prison for war crimes.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's something that I would be into.
No, totally. And if that, I mean, that's something that everyone that we know would be talking about if that was something that we were talking about right now.
Right.
So I'm not surprised that her district is going on about when they're going to impeach Obama for unknown
She's knowing
crimes.
Her audience. She's what she's doing.
That's all she knows. It's the only fact she knows. But she knows it well. But yeah, so she's been sort of playing it coy in terms of whether she thinks he should be impeached, because I think she probably knows that that's crossing a crazy line. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's just waiting for the dramatic moment, the reveal. Yeah. But she's talking about it all the time. It's sort of hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to hear her talk about anything because of her lack of ability to convince anyone with a brain
that what she's saying
has any sort of factual basis.
Yeah.
So it's funny when she talks, and she's been doing it again. meanwhile, though, this AP scandal is a more legitimate scandal, and it's more complicated than the IRS scandal, so I think the Republicans are going to kind of like...
It is, but it also isn't. I think that the Republicans could frame it in a way that would really dumb it down and would really hit home with their base and with other people more than even the IRS
scandal. They don't want to. Because their platform does not... I mean, they want to be able to sort of like... prosecute any sort of terrorist-related whatever at a moment's notice. I mean, Mitch McConnell was out, you know, on Sunday on the Sunday shows talking, like, defending the Obama administration on this.
I know.
They don't want this to be the scandal because this is too confusing for them. The Democrats could have had this be the scandal, and they would know what to do with it. But the Republicans want to be careful because they love authoritarian stuff.
I know. But see, that's the thing, though. Like, I just, to me, like, they could frame this in the, like, Obama controlling the media situation.
Sure.
They could, I mean, they've been calling him a communist for 6 years. Here you go.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like, they basically dropped a communist scandal on you, basically. He's controlling the news media.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's sort of like...
It's tied into the national security of state agents abroad.
But they could just forget about that part
if they wanted to. They don't want to because they want to be able to do this kind of stuff. This is their MO. This is an area in which Obama has been exceedingly conservative. It's an area in which liberals are not with him.
Right.
It's damaging to him because his base does not like it.
No,
but
not
it's
at
not
all.
Damaging to their base. They're going to have a hard time convincing their base that this thing that the Bush administration was doing, essentially the same thing, but like 1,000 times worse and bigger, probably.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have a hard time convincing their base that this is a bigger scandal than the IRS.
I agree. I just think that they could literally leave out all of the important points.
Yeah.
Leave out the facts. And just, you know, I mean, because I have a feeling a lot of people don't even know why they were looking in on the AP.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that if they just sort of, like, went on the attack about, I don't know. To me, this would be, like, this is the one to go with. They've sort of been left with this, like, you know, when it rains, it pours type situation.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, when you have such a wealth of things that you...
I would
contend that it's not actually that big of a wealth of scandals.
No.
But when they think they have... It's sort of almost hard to figure out
what to really do.
There's too much to focus on.
We should say what the AP scandal is, because we didn't say what it was.
Right.
The IRS scandal we talked about last week. The AP scandal broke this week. Basically, the...
Didn't we?
No,
I thought it broke last Friday or something.
I don't think that we did.
I don't know.
The Obama administration was pulling a reporter like contact information and
they have like a lot of phone lines
and stuff like that for AP reporters.
Like up to 100 journalists were probably,
because there was a report that an Al Qaeda plane had been taken down or an Al Qaeda bomb had been discovered or something like that, and then it turned out that the person that was responsible
it was a White House leak, but it turned out that
the would-be bomber was actually a U.S. spy, and so it put this guy's life in danger, supposedly, to have this leak.
Exactly. It was a national security issue.
It was a national security issue, and that's why Mitch McConnell was defending their administration, because he was saying, like, we should make sure that the press doesn't cause us to put our agents abroad in dangerous situations, which is sort of like...
I'm going to... This
It's like if this was any other administration, like the Republicans would not be on this side of the issue, is my sort of point with it. Like, yeah. It's something that progressives can be angry about. It affects the impartiality of the press.
I wish they would be more angry about it.
Yeah, no, it's confusing because the GOP is levying the charges. That's the problem with this scandal. It's confusing because I was talking about this with my parents, and I was like, I understand that this is problematic. Like, I am not a fan of what, of sort of, like, reporters being tracked, essentially, by the government. Like, I don't think that that's a good thing. But I can't, like, be furious about it online because it's a freaking GOP scandal.
I know.
And, like, I sound like a fucking Tea Partier if I go off on it. And it's sort of, like, it's a complicated situation to put, especially given the number of scandals that are sure. going on at the moment. Like, it's too complicated for people to get furious about because I accept that the Obama administration is significantly more conservative than I am, and so there are certain things that I'm not surprised. Like, I'm not surprised by this.
Yeah.
This is the kind of bullshit that they do. They hate the far left. They do this kind of bullshit. You know, they're really hard on progressive groups, and I'm not surprised that they're really hard on the press. These are things that I sort of, like, expect them to be doing that I don't like. So when these scandals break, I'm always like, well, when you elect a Republican masked as a Democrat, this is what you get. When it's even more complicated when the GOP is the one who brings these things to my attention.
Well, they're confused.
I don't want to agree with them either because I know that they'll twist it into something evil.
Right.
I mean,
well, they had these other two scandals, and then this one fell in their lap, and they were like, another one.
Another one.
They're like, and then, like, they made a big deal out of it, I think, before they realized
that they didn't disagree.
Right, exactly.
Because what he did here is a real GOP-friendly tactic.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this sort of, like, spying on U.S. citizens bullshit is some... This is something that the Republicans have historically sort of owned.
Right.
As a strategy.
But then claimed that they...
But then suddenly are claimed that all of the past scandals of this, you know, type, all of the sort of Watergate-esque, McCarthyism-esque scandals of yore have nothing to do with them.
Right.
It wasn't them.
I'm just sort of surprised.
It was only them. It wasn't them, though.
Like, where's Rand Paul on this one?
I know. Rand Paul.
He's not mad enough about this.
Well, of course he's not mad. I mean, Rand Paul's confused permanently about a lot of things.
Sure.
Rand Paul accidentally did something good when he had his filibuster.
Yes.
He didn't know what he was doing. He probably is very sorry about what he did there because...
Well, because weeks later he endorsed being able to kill somebody
exactly.
who'd stolen from a supermarket
exactly.
with a drone strike,
didn't realize
strike,
what he was...
He didn't know what he was doing.
...doing at the time.
He but, really thinks... when he was filibustering against drones, what he really was meaning was that drones should be able to kill anyone at any
exactly.
moment.
Exactly. But what he... He's not Ron Paul. He's a Tea Partier. Like, Ron Paul should be furious about this. This is
and
everything...
Maybe he is.
And he probably
he
is.
He may be furious
And this
someplace.
Is everything he hates. Rand Paul is a nut job who's not really sure what he thinks.
Yeah.
And so he probably is sort of, like, angry about it, but kind of also knows that he thinks it's probably okay because he loves getting terrorists. And,
sure.
You know, it's probably too confusing for him to... And that's why I think the GOP can't run with it.
But they can't process
they don't
what
know.
To do.
They don't know what to do. Yeah. This is their own strategy being used against them. Like,
I still, GOP, if you're listening,
this is
it.
The right one.
This is the one.
This is it.
It has all the pieces that you want.
I mean, they're not going to go for it, though.
I know.
There's no way. They've already
this one
they've
is
already
gonna,
defended
this
the
one's
going to
go away faster.
Real fast.
Than it, and also, it also, not it's going to go away the fastest, but it has the most long, like long-standing effects, I think, personally.
Well,
because
sure.
once you're a journalist who can't get your contacts in the White House to call you back because they think, there's, you know... leaks going on because they think that the fucking Department of Justice is listening in on your phone calls. It's not good.
No.
Like, we're living in 1984, which I know is just, like, I know that's the thing that people love to say, but, like, that's basically what's would be happening. I mean, once the government is writing the news, which I know is not exactly what happened here.
Right.
And that's, I'm overstating what happened here. But,
no,
I, mean,
but
like,
I mean,
this is a tiny step on the way to that. And
this,
like,
is a problematic development in terms of government transparency and journalistic integrity and all of the things that help us have a free functioning society.
Right.
Which
and
is
that was also
which the, is why it's going to be too confusing for the GOP.
The other thing that is, like, infuriating about this is that that's what we were supposed to be getting with Obama.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Well,
like, we were going to be getting transparency. We were going to be getting those things.
That was in no way what we were ever actually going to get with him.
It's what we were promised.
We were promised a vague image of a guy who was kind of likable.
No, but he did. That was one thing that he did say. He talked a lot about transparency when he was running for president.
He was talking about it because the Bush administration was so non-transparent that he had to do it to distinguish himself.
But they haven't been any less transparent.
No, of course they haven't, because they're Republicans. This is, like, one thing that we were promised secretly by the Obama administration was that they would get into office and be Republicans, and they're doing exactly that. There's been no time that I have thought to myself, I'm voting for a good Democrat and voting for Obama. I've thought to myself, like, I'm voting for a historic presidency, I'm voting for a not George Bush, I'm voting for a not John McCain, I'm voting for a not Mitt Romney. I've thought all of those things.
Yep.
But, and this is, like, this is where me and my mother keep butting heads, is that, and I've been saying this since Obama ran, is sort of like, I never expected any better from him, because he's been hinting the whole time that he's a Republican. You know? At very best, he's a compromise-loving Clintonian, which is basically just being a Republican. Like, there's been no time that I've thought to myself, he stands up for what I believe in. So, when this kind of bullshit happens, I'm always like, well,
there you go.
That told you.
That's it.
Not surprised. I'm not happy about it, but I've not been happy about anything that's happened in like 16 years in this country. So, like, what can I do? You know?
Right. Exactly. Fair enough.
So, you know.
There you go.
I've had low expectations. It's really helped me thrive. People in LA like to pretend like optimism is the best approach for mental wellness.
Well, you have a lot of problems with optimism.
Optimism will let you down.
You hate it.
Friends. It'll let you down.
Lila is not using the secret.
If you have low expectations, everything is a pleasant surprise. It's a pleasant surprise to me that the Obama administration has not, like, been sending the FBI to my door. So every day that the FBI is not at my door, I'm thrilled that I live in such a free society. It's...
Sorry.
It's all just about framing.
Sure. All right, fair enough.
You know?
Which brings us to
an issue that's nothing but framing and has no content.
Right. The dumbest of the three scandals.
The one that they should have given up months ago, but have they not. They can't kick the habit.
I was going to say, this is the thing that is ruining the other two scandals for them to a certain degree, because they can't get over this. They've been talking about it since before the freaking election, and there's nothing to it, but they can't get off it, and they're just so, they've got smoke coming out their ears over this, and there's nothing there, and everyone just... Nobody cares.
No, well, except, you can't care. There's nothing to care about.
Nobody cares except Fox News and the far nutty right, but they can't let it go, so it's in the news, and it's just, it's ridiculous. This Benghazi business is...
Ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. There is so far from anything there, and even Obama this week sort of was like, he had to do some damage control. Like, with the AP thing, he, like, re-released that reporter shield that he had sort of blocked in 2009. He released all of the Benghazi emails that had sort of already been released once before anyway. Right. And then he, you know, fired the IRS commissioner or whatever, or forced him to resign. So he really has sort of been, like, out there this week. But he was not having it with Benghazi because at the press conference, it was sort of, like, the most mad that I had seen him recently, except maybe after the... background check.
Well, and people were comparing him to Bullworth.
Yes.
There are a lot of Bullworth comparisons going on, which was a film in which a politician started saying what he actually thought.
Yeah.
Which...
And he basically said this week, he said that there was no there.
Yeah.
Which is
a great line.
A great line. And he called it a sideshow.
Yeah.
And all of those things are 100% accurate. There is nothing
there
to this at all.
It is...
Nothing to it.
It is the most boring, long-range scandal that I can have possibly imagined.
How are they still...
There has got to be something more scandalous happening.
I was going to say, they need to all collectively get together in a room and be like, all right,
there's got to be something better than this.
Done.
We can find a better scandal.
There's two things better than this.
Yeah, every scandal that's come out so far has been better than this. Like, if we can really drive this IRS thing home, we can stop talking about Benghazi.
And not only that, it comes out this week that they're in on the scandal,
because they've been doctoring emails.
They're doctoring the emails that they're getting so furious over.
Yeah.
They themselves doctored it. So, like, these emails that everybody was, like, getting angry about, like, in that ABC report last week or whatever.
Yeah. And they were doctored by GOP aides. Meanwhile, West Hollywood has a reason to celebrate, because Adam Schiff is on the ball on this.
I know.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
He's the one who's calling for them to basically tell us what they doctored.
Yes, our congressman.
Our congressman.
Good work.
Our blue dog Democrat congressman. Yeah. Is out there.
Yeah, he wants to know how this happened, how these emails were doctored, and
It takes a blue dog to care enough about this scandal
That's true.
Respond to it.
Yeah.
It really you have to have a threshold of care that at least makes you want to know what happened,
yeah.
which I don't have.
Yeah.
You know, like, know. Most Democrats don't even care what happened at this point because we know enough.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I almost, you know, went on a tirade about why there is nothing to this scandal. And then before I did it, realized that we've had that tirade
before
since, like, what? Since September.
Yeah. No, since last year.
Since last September when this happened, we have been having, it's almost like you, I would feel bad to put you through it again. I mean, you've heard, you know why there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
You don't want me to tell you again.
No, you.
It would just get me angry.
Yeah. And.
And you would be mad for having to listen to it again.
Yeah. It's
mind bogglingly.
I don't have the words for it because.
We're done with it.
We're done with it.
Next.
Next. Next story. All of these scandals, Obama's poll ratings haven't taken a hit at all. No one cares. All of these scandals have been very mismanaged, in my opinion. I know. If they can't even
take 1 point dip out in the polls,
poll dip.
He's still at 53% approval rating.
No one has been paying any attention to these scandals.
Yeah.
People either were angry about him before.
I'm sort of surprised about that because there was a certain point this week where all of this shit was going down, and it was one of the days where they were actually sort of talking about what was going on with this AP thing, and I was just sort of I just wouldn't really care if somebody else was president right now. I know that sounds sort of dramatic, but what's he doing for me?
No, nothing.
I mean,
this is bolstering my point.
Which brings you to your point. Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't feel bad about it because I didn't think he would do anything for me.
No, but it's just sort of I don't mean that seriously.
No.
He hasn't done anything to deserve impeachment, but I'm sort of surprised that his approval rating hasn't taken a hit because 53%, you've got to believe that where are the upset Democrats about this AP scandal?
They're nowhere because they can't figure out how they're supposed to feel. So they're just not doing anything about it. It's too confusing. And I think that all of these scandals involve a certain amount of miscalculation because it's like the election. They see that their own people are getting riled up by something, and they assume it's happening everywhere. They, you know, Mitt Romney thought he was going to win the election because he thought, because he was going to his own rallies and seeing that people were there to support him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
Yeah.
These are not scandals that Democrats care about. That IRS story that we posted, or maybe I just posted it on my own page and we never posted it on Brain Trust.
That's what you did.
But it was the lead opinion piece on HuffPo. It was right up in front for everyone to see, and it basically just said, well, of course the IRS is looking into the Tea Party. They don't like taxes. it was everything that I had been ranting about for weeks.
Yeah.
This is what a Democrat's response is to the IRS scandal. The AP scandal is way confusing because everyone is all over the plate, all over the place on this issue.
Yeah.
The GOP is defending the Obama administration, and they're angry at him. It's only the wackos that are getting nuts about it. The Democrats can't speak out against Obama, so they're not saying anything. And even though we all should think that, journalistic integrity is important, we can't get real riled up about it because then we're shooting ourselves in the foot because the GOP, we know, is looking for any reason to totally discredit Obama over stupid shit.
Yeah.
Because this is not why to discredit. I mean, this is why we should discredit him, but this is not why they want to discredit him.
Right.
And this is not why we should, this is not the issue we should allow them to discredit him over because we don't really gain anything by them discrediting him. So we have to sort of stay silent on it basically. And Benghazi is just infuriating and no one who's not watching Fox News is paying attention to it. So where the people that would shift in the polls aren't paying attention to any of these things or don't care or feel heartened that the IRS is at least looking into the Tea Party to find out if they're paying their taxes, because I've wondered before. So, I mean, there's no way for them to move the polls on this because they're just sort of digging in their own people further.
But if all three of these things ultimately go away, which they will at some point. They have to. I mean, they can't continue
to be.
They can't stay forever. And they are not able to sort of make any political hay out of it, that's a sad state for
them. They're a mess. We're later going to talk about Ann Coulter's having some sort of racist, tirade over the Star Trek movie. And we're also going to bring you a story about the diversity outreach coordinator in Florida disappearing. And obviously, I'm spoiling all the news for you. These were both hilarious stories that we really wanted to make fun of for you. But my point is that this is what they're doing. They're taking an issue where they know they need to reach out to minorities, they're hiring outreach coordinators to minority communities, and then they're still talking, you know, they're still releasing Heritage Foundation reports that, you know, are based on racist assumptions. They're still letting Ann Coulter go on the news and talk about how she thinks that the cast of Star Trek is too diverse. The alien planets and space are the purview of white men only.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're still having, they're still talking out of both sides of, you know, and it's sort of like they can't get their message straight. So, of course, they're not affecting anything because they don't have a message to affect anyone with.
Yeah.
They're confused.
Yep.
And, you know, they can only get the mouth breathers up, you know, crazy over hatred.
Yeah.
And they can only get sort of like everyone else on board if they tone that stuff down. So they have no, there's no way for them to win
That's
at
true.
This without having some sort of Bush era magic reappear. You know, like this sort of the propaganda magic that got him elected needs to come back, or they're just, they're never going to affect the polls with this stupidity.
Well, and the only, I have a feeling the only people who are really paying close attention to this on their side are the people who already think the president should be impeached and tarred and feathered.
If you're furious about Benghazi,
you know what
I mean? Might still be furious about it, but that's certainly, I mean, you weren't voting for, if you're furious about Benghazi, you didn't vote for Obama.
Exactly.
And you're not going to vote for him in the future.
Nope.
And you probably think that Ann Coulter was right to walk out of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Trek.
You know, a Star Trek. Same thing.
Sure.
And you probably don't, you know, you probably think that, you know, Mexican immigrants are ruining, you're stealing your jobs. And you probably think all of these things already.
Yeah.
That are maybe totally untrue, but are sort of the world. That's how you see, base your sort of impression of the world.
Yeah.
You know, so, or that's, it's just sort of, it's a no win for them.
Yeah.
This kind of politics.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop. So good
Perfect.
For us. Perfect. Yeah. Speaking of people that are furious about things though.
Us.
We're furious about things.
And the things being Harry Reid.
Being Harry Reid being a wimp. Because holy moly, now he's suddenly like, well, if you guys aren't going to cooperate, because obviously Obama's nominations have not been going so smoothly in the Senate.
Right, his judicial.
His judicial nominations. He's got judicial nominations coming up. Harry Reid is now realizing that those might not go forward as he sort of hoped that they would.
Right.
Possibly because everyone's going, because you still need 60 votes to get anything passed
right.
in the Senate. So now he's talking about the nuclear option for filibuster reform. Now,
after
months
they,
after we've had months of doing nothing and they couldn't get the assault weapons ban passed and they couldn't, you know, like months after everything failed everywhere.
And months after they, you know, fixed this.
Right. I'm months after they
fixed with air quotes.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, this is, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but they sort of,
it needs
you know,
to be talked about.
They made a bad filibuster deal, and now it's, you know, coming to fruition where they've realized that they didn't actually fix anything, which they should have realized at the time. And now they're mad about it, and they want to do something about it. It's sort of like, you could have
you had the
fixed
chance.
This, you had the chance, and that you're not going to be able to get this through because I can already see it coming out of Mitch McConnell. Well, we already dealt with the filibuster.
Harry Reid is claiming that he can make a rule change at any time with only 50 votes.
Well,
and
then why didn't he do that?
Well, it can't be true.
Why hasn't anybody
there's
been doing
no
that
way
for the last
that that's,
6 years?
Exactly. Like, there's no way that that is possible. His claims, I mean, he can claim anything he wants, but that can't possibly be true because if that were true, there would have been enough pressure for them to do it 6 years ago. Like, it's just like now he's like pissed, so he's like, well, wait a minute, I'm the Speaker of the Senate. And, I mean, the Speaker.
Leader.
The Majority Leader of
majority
the Senate.
Leader.
He's not in the House. Wait a minute, I'm the, you know, the Majority Leader in the Senate. Like, I can do anything I want. And he's a wimp, so he's not going to. And he can say nuclear option all he wants, but they know it's not a legitimate threat because he made a terrible deal with them before, and he'll do it again. So, basically, now he's just sort of like, oh, too bad, you know.
Harry.
Like, get yourself together, man.
Get yourself together.
Pull it together.
Yep.
It's like,
he's not going to.
He's not going to. He's too old to.
Yeah.
Someone needs to stop.
Him.
Everything. Yeah. But anyway,
here's one of the stories that I
ruined for you. The Latino outreach director that the GOP hired in Florida, his name is Pablo Pantoja. Is that it? Pantoja? Pantoja?
Probably, yeah.
I mean,
Pantoja.
Yeah, Pantoja.
Something like that.
We don't speak Spanish.
Nope.
A lot of French getting taken in school here.
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Yeah, we learned some Portuguese in the car yesterday.
Has a Portuguese
it's very
app
similar
on
to Spanish.
But anyway, not only did he sort of like
He left in a dramatic huff.
And he left in a dramatic huff, and he became a Democrat in a dramatic huff. So he didn't just leave.
Well, and he wrote this letter that was basically about how his position with them was problematic because they don't actually want to reach out to blacks and Latinos. But more importantly, he also said that part of the reason that he quit was over that Heritage Foundation report. Which is like, Jim DeMint's really screwing shit up over there. He should have never left the Senate.
At least he's screwing shit up there and not in the Senate.
That's true. But I mean, he's a fool for leaving the Senate to go destroy the Heritage Foundation.
I know.
The Heritage Foundation is going to be a joke by the end of this. And they were a joke to most people before.
Yeah.
But they're going to be discredited even among their own people. Because they've been just like a little too overt in stating what they actually believe, which is racist and bigoted and horrible.
Yes, correct.
So in any case, Florida, which is a key place to have an outreach director to minority communities.
This is not where you want this to be happening.
It's a swing state. It has a huge Hispanic population. It's huge. It gets a lot. It has a lot of votes.
Yep.
A lot of electoral votes. Mm-hmm. It's a key location. It's one of the states that the election hinges on. It's not the place where you want the Latino outreach director to quit
be changing
in a fury.
Parties.
Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. They can't get their shit together.
No.
They can't. They had a guy who they were paying to go sell their message to the Latino community, and he, being paid by them, was finally like, wait a minute.
What am I doing?
You don't like us. What am I doing here? I can't sell you guys. I mean, like, there's no way. They have some problems. There's no way that this, you know, there's no way that they are able to reach out to these communities, and as long as they can't, they're never going to find out that people do vote in those communities, so they're always going to assume that all the stuff they're doing is working because their own rallies are going to be really incensed about it.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they're never going to get any Latinos to their rallies to find out that they're not incensed.
I was going to say, they'll know once they start having huge rallies.
Right.
And they continue to be only white people.
They won't. No. It won't occur to them. It hasn't occurred to them yet.
It probably won't. No.
You know, they thought that their message, that they would somehow have a message to sell to minority communities. They don't.
They don't.
What message are they going to sell?
I was going to say, they realized they needed...
We hate you and we think you're stealing our jobs.
I know. They realized that they needed to reach out to them, and so started trying to reach out to them, but they did it
before... Hired a guy to do it.
But they did it before they had a platform to reach out to them with.
They have a platform.
Well,
it's
a new platform.
They don't have a new platform because their old platform is still their platform, and that platform
is racist.
Is totally racist.
Right.
So, that's...
They would have been better to not reach out to these people.
Yeah. That's...
Because... Once you're reaching out to people with a platform that tells them
that
are terrible, then you probably just should have, you know, maybe kept it to
yourself. They would have at least got a couple votes from uninformed people before. But now everyone's going to know.
I know.
And that's a problem.
That's a problem.
You know?
Just shh.
That's my mom is always like, you know, Republicans are fools because they could have all of these votes in the gay community if they weren't bigoted. Like, there is like a huge portion of the gay community that is upper middle class and probably ready to vote to lower their own taxes and doesn't give a shit about anyone outside of the, you know, outside of the gay community in the political sense, who would vote for them in a heartbeat if they weren't so overtly bigoted.
Yeah, and same with Hispanics. I mean, social conservatives.
They're social conservatives. You know, it's a largely Catholic population. They could really get people incensed about abortion in this country if they really worked at it, but they can't mask the fact that they hate them.
Yep.
And so they're losing them to a party that is going to teach them all these, you know, the Democratic Party is going to educate them as to the value of things that Democrats believe in and the value of having sort of like social programs available and the value.
And then
you're not going to be able to turn them after
that. I know.
That.
And then the Republicans just say like, well, they all voted for the Democrats because the Democrats promised them things. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I vote for the Democrats too.
Correct.
Yeah. If you're wondering why white people are voting for the Democrats, it's the same thing.
I know.
Do I want unemployment insurance?
Yep.
Yeah, I do.
Healthcare?
Healthcare? Absolutely. Yep. Like, they're promising me things, too, and that's why I'm voting for them. So why would that not work on other people? Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah,
meanwhile, in news that we're less incensed about because we're super excited about
it. I know. Anthony Weiner
is
totally
running. Definitely running for mayor.
He's running for mayor.
He is making campaign videos on the steps of his childhood home.
Right.
He is... he's in second place in the polls, even though he hasn't declared yet.
Right.
He's hired a chief of staff.
Yep.
And
who is probably going to? I mean, who's probably going to be his campaign manager? Everybody thinks that the person.
I mean,
that
a campaign manager. He's hired
a person who is person not who technically his campaign manager, but
right,
will
but it's going
be
to be his
campaign manager.
I said chief of staff. I meant campaign manager. He's released a booklet outlining his plan for the city that is 21 pages long.
Right. Back on Twitter.
That he's back on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's totally running for mayor.
I love it.
I'm so excited. He has a war chest. He has the money to do it.
Yeah.
I think, judging from how excited everyone that I have talked to about this is, that he could very easily overtake Christine Quinn if he focused on the right things. Because
I was going to say, I don't know enough about her, but I know that you think she's a hack.
Well, and the reason that I think she's a hack is because she is the person who allowed Bloomberg a third term. And if there's one thing Democrats and Republicans both love, it's term limits.
Term limits.
People love term limits. Term limits are amazing. Everyone loves term limits. Mm-hmm. And when you're the person who sort of single-handedly allows this rich, like, Berlusconi-esque figure to come and take a third term just because he feels like it in a very fake emergency that everyone knows is fake, because only people who work in the stock market thought that wasn't a fake emergency in his life. And there's no such thing as a financial emergency. Like, if the city is underwater, that's an emergency. If 9/11 has just happened, that's an emergency.
Sure.
We didn't give Giuliani another term for that, though.
Right.
We, you know, there were people that tried, that were carrying signs around the city. I say this because I saw a bunch of people carrying signs. I don't know what they were also, you know, what else they were up to. But who wanted to give Giuliani another term because of 9/11, and people were like, no. He was not reprehensible for 5 minutes, but we didn't forget that he was horrible before. People, even people who liked Bloomberg, were angry about this third term thing because it just seemed unfair. It seemed like he wasn't playing by the right rules. And Christine Quinn is the person that made that possible for him. And if Anthony Weiner can be like, I think all of these things that you all agree with, A, but B, Christine Quinn is corrupt. She's the definition of how you become a corrupt city official, how you become an insider. She is the sort of like ultimate insider.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care about you. She only cares about her career. She made that move so that Bloomberg would support her in the mayoral election. It was so overt that you know it already.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people would be like, oh yeah, we don't like her. Right. I forgot. And, you know, her sort of like working class gate kind of reads as false at this point because she's like massively wealthy.
And also, Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, and also Anthony Weiner.
I mean,
we're talking about someone who can get incensed about healthcare reform.
Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. In any case, I don't think that his sex scandal will overshadow her Bloomberg scandal. So I feel like we're looking good, friends. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
In any case, this is another New York City news.
This is a random story.
This is a random story.
It's interesting.
It was in the Times. It was on the Times blog.
Yeah.
And I was reading it, and I was sort of like, this is fascinating. It's not news, actually. Mm-mm. I mean, there's news in if you care about baby naming trends, which, if you're wondering, Michael is the most popular boy's name in New York, so there you have it. But the article goes on to sort of talk about geographical disparities in baby naming and what they say about the political sort of, like, situation in those places. Because basically, it turns out that progressive communities are more likely to choose conservative names when naming their babies.
And that's because, or because the women in progressive communities are having babies later in life.
Right.
So they're going to be less apt to sort of like name their kid after a fucking Twilight character or something.
Right. Or like Britney Spears' children or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's sort of interesting that Michael's been a chart-topping name for years in New York. Since the 50s, I think. It's
the
been
only
the most
year that it wasn't
York.
Was the year where it got overtaken by John
after
JFK
got
died.
Shot.
And before that, this is my favorite bit of information in this article. It was, I thought it said something else earlier.
You thought it said Rupert. But
I did.
Think
Can
it,
I just not read? Or did we change that? Or
no, well, in 1999, Jacob beat it.
Oh, okay.
But before that, I think it took over from Rupert.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay.
Rupert was in the mix at some point.
What I
which
loved
is a hilarious
about story.
Name. Not for British people. I think of that as a name that only British people can be named.
Yeah.
But in any case, the statistic is interesting because Michael isn't. It's just barely in the top 40 in
other
in like most, most in like a lot of other states. Random states. Like in Nebraska, it's number 37, yep. Right behind the name Bentley.
Like what?
More people in Nebraska are naming their babies Bentley than Michael. It's 36th in Iowa, and it's only 35th in Vermont, which is interesting because like what are they naming their kids?
I know,
like,
right?
Sunflower, yeah, rainbow probably. Sky, like
a lot of hippie names going on there. Probably.
It's 31st in North Dakota, and it's very far behind the other popular names in New York, like Henry and Hudson, and everyone's naming their kids. Oh no, it's Henry Hudson. That was a joke. I misread that. Henry Hudson is the, because the other follow-up was that 6th and 7th in Utah are Samuel and Jackson. But in any case, it is far behind both Henry and Hudson in North Dakota. So, in any case, I butchered that completely.
That's okay.
It's hard because I don't actually know this information. I'm reading it. But
wasn't there a book that sort of like, wasn't it in Freakonomics or something? Didn't they like sort of study like naming and like how you ended up like
being paid
based on?
Or was it a Malcolm Gladwell book? Probably.
It was something like that, like how you were ended up sort of like being in the, you know, socioeconomically sort of like based on like what your name was, and they sort of like compared sort of names like Michael and things like that to sort of like names that would be more sort of like
Bentley,
or I think at least in this case they were comparing it to more typical names that were sort of like, you know, African-American,
right?
Like names just in the sense that they were sort of like, you know, bordering on saying something racist at this point,
right.
But I mean like, you know, just sort of like, you know, made up names,
yeah.
Sort of, you know what I mean? Like in that respect, sort of. And they were sort of like talked a lot about like where people would end up, just like how much they would get paid, like based on, you know, whether even if they had like the same schooling and the exact same resume,
yeah.
Based on sort of like what their names are.
Well, so I think it's like a trend that I think probably starts with what we're talking about here, because it starts with women in in sort of richer households, in more progressive communities that are sort of richer communities,
yeah.
Naming their kids things like Michael.
Right.
Those kids get better opportunities because
right.
they're from a community
right.
Where they already can get those opportunities. And then on top of that, people assume that in order to be from a community that, you know, has proven itself to be rich already, you have to be named Michael. So then they give the better pay to someone like Michael because they think, well, someone like Michael needs to be paid more because he's a more expensive person.
Right.
He has more needs. His name is Michael.
Yeah.
So, in any case, don't name your kids. What a boring name to name
so
everyone,
boring.
Though. I know, like, 1,000 Michaels. I know, it's interesting, like, baby name trends.
It's not a terrible name.
It's not
but
a
it's just
terrible
sort of
name.
Like,
it's just sort of like, everyone's named Michael. Like,
yeah.
Because I know, like, a million of them.
What makes you settle on that?
No, it's like, stop it. But it's interesting that is the name that sort of, like, has transcended. Because there's, like, generational, like, there's names that are popular in generations. Like,
yes, of course.
I had, like, 75 Davids in every class
sure.
that I went to school with.
Yeah.
We had, at one point, we had 2 David S's. It got very confusing because usually you'd be like, David P, David J. But when you have 2 David S's, it's like, you can't do anything at that point. You just have 2 of them. You just have to hope you're talking to the right one.
Yeah.
But in any case, that I thought was an interesting article that is not news, but is interesting.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got some international news.
Yeah, some international news.
The sort of international news that we can get behind because it was just crazy. But
oh, I mentioned Berlusconi earlier.
Oh, you did?
In reference, Bloomberg is not Berlusconi-esque in that he throws wild parties, though.
No.
But
he
is
be
in
more
that
interesting
he's really
if he did.
Rich and owns the city.
But Berlusconi, there's, I guess he had some of his, like, aides that were, like, staffing his parties, basically, or sort of, like, been testifying and, like, are talking
well,
about
they,
sort of...
This is what happened. They were hiring prostitutes for
well,
his
right.
party, and one of them was underaged.
Yes.
And so there's a bunch of trial... They're getting
she's
tried.
She's, like, 17, right?
She's, like, 17.
Right, but she's
they're
passing
getting
herself off.
Tried.
Older, right.
The parties were called Bunga Bunga parties,
mm-hmm.
which is
but
hilarious.
But people were, like, dressed up as, like... People would come to these parties,
yeah.
like, and they were, like, crazy parties.
Yeah.
Like, somebody... dressed up as a woman dressed up as Barack Obama
yeah.
at one of these parties.
There were, like, nuns, there were
yep.
nurses,
yeah.
there were a host of Italian political and
yeah.
rich person figures, like prostitutes dressed up as these
yeah.
things. And
so good.
And one 17-year-old girl who was calling herself Ruby and accepting money from Berlusconi for
yeah.
a, quote, business she
claims
wanted to
start. That she got a lot of money from him.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, she...
Well, a lot of the women there are
She claimed to her family and friends that she got millions from him, and then later was like, no, I was just boasting. I didn't actually get that. I got $3,000 or something like that. So no one knows. But she was also, like, going to these parties and, like, saying that she was, like, the child of the president of Egypt.
Oh, yeah, and, that's like, right. You know, like, she was, like, related to, like, Hosni Mubarak or something. I mean, she was, like, she was also claiming that she was 24.
And that her mother was a famous Arab singer and, you know.
She had a lot of stories.
A lot of stories. It's sort of fascinating because everyone has crazy stories. And you sort of hope that they're true because Berlusconi is the kind of guy that you think that might be possible.
Yeah.
With. That's but, true. In any case.
These parties had to have been awesome.
Awesome.
I
was thinking about Gatsby the entire time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you don't necessarily want your president to be having them. But also, like, as an American, to think about the Italian president having them or
it's prime sort of
minister,
fun.
It's like, it's... Yeah, it's entertaining. Yeah. Like, it's you kind of want that to be happening, yeah, I guess, to a certain degree. It's
somewhere.
Just sort of like, yeah.
Italy is where I would imagine that would happen.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, there's also some punditry news.
Mm, yes.
First, among the punditry news.
I think we said this was going to happen.
Yeah, we predicted
after
this.
After he lost his
we
election.
We say this every time that someone crazy loses
crazy
their
Republican.
Election.
Right. Alan West. Oh, going to be on Fox News. He's going to be a Fox News contributor.
Dennis Kucinich are going to
battle it out. Yeah.
With, in his case, very few facts.
Yeah.
But also, he's been hosting, like, some web show or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember, we talked about that. It was, like, some crazy thing because it was, like...
Subscription online.
Yeah, it was subscription. It was expensive and it was, like, aimed at, like, not kids, but it was,
like young adults.
Yeah.
And it was too expensive. Well, young adults are not even paying for Times.
No, and also young adults don't want to listen to Alan West, for God's sake.
No, of course not.
Dear God.
But apparently he was doing this for a company that was originally called Pajamas Media, then changed their names to PJ Media.
Yes.
The article called them Pajamas Media and then had to issue a correction because Alan West's PR people got back to them and told them that they were no longer going by Pajamas Media anymore.
Oops.
Like, what a hilarious phone call to have to make.
Yeah.
Like, I can just imagine
they were probably really had to pretend to be angry about it. But also, they were talking about pajamas. It's like, I don't know how you would pretend to be angry about that. And
there was no winning
face.
In that situation.
No, nobody was winning.
But our second story that I already ruined for us is that Ann Coulter walked out of Star Trek.
Which, you didn't totally ruin it because the quotes are where the real gems are.
Yeah.
But...
She went on Sean Hannity to talk about it, but apparently, like, there were, like, witnesses at the Regal Cinema that she went to in New York that,
like,
saw her. She was, like, muttering to herself and walking out.
But here's what I want to say. I saw this movie last night.
Right.
Lila and I went to the movies last night.
And
Lila,
Lila
and our friend Lauren went to Francis Ha.
Right.
And they had asked me if I wanted to go, and under no circumstances was I going to be seeing Francis Ha, whatever.
We thought it was great. We loved it.
Sure. So I found someone to go with me, and then we ate dinner before. And
yeah,
then
it was a genius plan.
I went to Star Trek, and they went to Francis Ha.
Yeah.
It was a good plan.
Yeah.
I feel like we could be doing that more often.
All the time.
Because I never want to see anything that you want to see.
No, exactly.
It's rare.
But
anyway,
also, it's not like...
We did see Gatsby last week.
But
it's terrible.
It's not like you ever talk to people during a movie. Like, a movie is about going to dinner before the movie.
Yeah, of course.
And then you go to the theater together, so you have someone to talk to before the movie.
Yeah.
And then you go sit by yourself at a movie theater anyway. And then you can just, like, leave together. It's fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was a genius plan.
That's going to be a new plan.
Yeah.
For the summer.
A summer movie plan.
A couple weeks, I'll go see
He'll
Superman.
He'll see the blockbusters.
And you can go see
I'll
something.
Look for an indie film that doesn't have any tension in it.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So, first we'll read the quote, and then I'll tell you why she's fucking crazy. Right. I mean, besides the obvious, Ann Coulter, she's always crazy. But anyway, so she said, apparently in the future, the liberals have extinguished all the white people. I mean, they got a black girl running the communications, an Asian guy driving the ship, and a pointy-eared alien doing pretty much everything else. Then she went on. She said, I guess we're supposed to just accept that minorities will be the new majority. This isn't an entertainment film. It's nothing but a pro-Obama multicultural piece of propaganda. And, of course, it's not even realistic. Well,
yes,
you've got,
it's not.
You're right there. Since when have black people been able to speak foreign languages? What? And shouldn't Sulu have crashed the ship into a Khazar by now?
Is that because he's Asian?
Okay.
Is that what she's saying?
Uh-huh. So, she got a lot of... I mean,
Sean Hannity even was like, listen.
This quote is why I have said many times why I want to be friends with Ann Coulter. Not because I want to be friends with racist people, but I want friends who say things like this because it's entertaining to me.
Right.
But, first off, she's wrong. because I had read the story before I saw the movie last night, and so I was really sort of, like, looking for the minorities.
Right.
They're not there.
No.
She's right. I mean, you know, Zoe Saldana is in it, and she's playing a character who was, I'm 99% certain, African-American in the original Star Trek show. So was the Asian, because that was George Takei's character.
Right.
And then there are some other sort of, like, ambiguously raced aliens, basically.
Who are playing aliens.
Who are playing aliens.
So we don't have a way of comparing them to current races.
And beyond that, she's, beyond the fact that she's wrong about the movie, that is going to be the case in the future. It's like 300 years in the future from now.
Also, the case now-ish.
I mean,
would it be crazy to have a spaceship right now that had some crew members that weren't white men?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't be fazed by that.
I mean, science shows that she's wrong here, basically.
Exactly.
It's not that Hollywood...
Human experience.
It's not that Hollywood extinguished all of the white people in the future. It's that nature extinguished all of the white people in the future.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's that economics sort of, like, created a situation in which other people could be in the future, too.
Yes.
Because... Well, and because she goes on to talk about how it's also communist propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Because... You know, they don't get paid on the ship, and no one owns the ship, and they are all just working, and everyone's equal, and everyone whatever, which is like...
Yeah.
Another...
Crazy
because thought, because we're talking about
that's also
a
not,
fictional universe
that's also
in the future.
Not, that's also not true, because there is a very specific chain of command on these ships.
Well, it's like military command.
It is.
Style.
And, like, to the point where, like, when someone, like, leaves, like, the main, you know... cabin that they're in or whatever, like, somebody else has to come, like, you know, I mean, there's, like, somebody is always reporting to somebody else. I mean, it's very, she's wrong.
Right.
But I just, and also, the funny thing is what she should have been mad about as a Republican, she probably left before it happened, because, like, one of the main plot points is basically, like, they're looking for this guy who has, like, blown up this building. Basically, he's, like, a terrorist.
Right.
And he sort of, like, teleports himself to, like, the main Klingon planet.
Sure.
And so they don't want to start a war with the Klingons, so there's a huge debate as to whether they want to preemptively strike the planet or whether they just want to go in and, like, try and just pull the one guy out of, like, the Klingon planet, basically.
Mm.
And, like, that was the whole, you know, debate. And, like,
she loves a preemptive strike.
And they didn't. They ultimately decided, of course, to not preemptively strike. Like, that's, as a Republican, is what you should be taking away from that movie. But she got so angry about there not being enough white people in it that she left before she even got to the main plot point she should have been mad about.
This is also hilarious because, as I learned from this article, because I certainly don't follow these things.
Sure.
The original show featured the first multiracial kiss on television.
Oh.
And was actually, for its time, sort of groundbreaking in terms of diversity.
Right.
Because if you remember, like, all of these Star Trek shows, there's been, like, 1,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They've all had relatively diverse casts compared to a lot of what we see on television.
Yeah.
I mean, even I know that, because wasn't the guy from Reading Rainbow, Lamar?
Yeah,
he was on, that was what he was famous for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, even I know that the original sort of, like, depiction of this universe involved minorities.
Yeah.
And also... The Reading Rainbow guy wasn't, like...
Yeah.
I mean,
there's also a scene where Chris Pine is having sex with two women that have tails. You know? So, I mean, like, you at a certain point, like, you have to get over the fact that there's also black people in the movie.
Like,
I mean, just, like...
There's it's a fictional universe that involves aliens.
And the fact that she's, like, talking about the movie not being realistic is sort of like, well, it's a science fiction movie that takes place in the future. So congratulations, Anne. You've really hit the nail on the head there. What a twit. Just call me Anne. She's such a dream. She's a total dream. Love her. Okay.
Anyway, that's...
Oh, that was it.
That was it. That's
started scrolling down to report the next story, but
which doesn't exist. We don't have another story because that was that. What you can't end with
anything else other than that.
No, that's it. That's the most.
Even if we had another story, we would have moved this one to the end.
The end. Yeah,
that was always going to be the last story.
That is the official final story, whatever the news may be.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So we'll talk to you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, we might be doing some sort of, like, Arizona spectacular podcast next
that
week.
Is
because we're going to Arizona
and we
we're
might
have my
get
parents
our friend Jill
we're
to actually
Jill,
speak on the podcast
like
she said she
a,
might actually
it could
talk
be a real situation we might be able to get my parents involved there could be things happening on the podcast
it might be pretty
week.
Exciting
so
stay
on the lookout
for that.
Have a good week
bye, bye.